I've been a performance coach and a physical therapist for 37 years, and I've had the pleasure, the real opportunity, to help thousands of people achieve their goals in athletics, fitness, and health. Hi, folks. I'm John Zombro, and you're listening to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. Today's episode number 204, and I'll tell you a bit about that in just a moment. Here at the Lifetime Athlete Podcast, I'm all about sharing the information that I've learned over all those years in human performance and how to help a person get more out of their body, get more out of their life, and make it last the entire lifetime. And those are things that I'm still learning every day, and it's both inspiring and often humbling. As many of you know who are regular listeners, I recently had a complete shoulder reconstruction, which included a number of items of work in some soft tissues, a complete joint replacement, and some other things. And that occurred for some interesting reasons. Unbeknownst to me, I'd made it to 57 before I found out that I had a congenital issue, a defect in my shoulder. It really hadn't formed right, and it was destined not to make a lifetime anyway. And so I had gone through life playing a number of sports, some of them overhead, and really having a well-used body. I threw some insults and injuries at the shoulder as well along the way, but you know what? It really wasn't bothering me too much until just recently when all of this kind of reached ahead. And I must admit, at first, I was a bit bummed because I'd always tried to live by the ethos that you don't want to outlive your joints. Unfortunately, I had outlived a joint, and I thought, well, gosh, you know, was there anything that I could have done differently to maybe have a different outcome? And you know, in consulting with really the experts in the field, surgical experts and rehabilitation folks, in these specialty shoulder cases, what came out of it was, well, nah, there's nothing that you could have done. That shoulder just wasn't going to make a lifetime. And in all likelihood, a lot of your training and activity probably got you or bought you a few more years than you would have received otherwise. So, yeah, good enough. I get that. And so now I've kind of looked at my role as being strengthened. And I want to be of service. I want to help others. I want to be a role model and to the extent that I can. And now this experience gives me that opportunity to say, well, okay, what does being hard to kill really mean? How am I going to come back? I'm going to come back most of the way. And it's going to take me a year or two to be all honest, but I'm going to get back to where I need to be to get the most out of my life. And I'm going to be smart about it, but I'll share bits and pieces of that journey as we go along. And a lot of that is to provide you with information and reassurance that these things happen to all of us and we can indeed make the most of it. And that's really the best choice, perhaps the only choice when we really look at it. So getting into today's title of this, I think it's going to be a fairly brief episode unless I want to share too many stories. This we're going to call Training for a Thanksgiving Race or a Turkey Trot Tune-Up. And so all across the country, one of the most popular running events is the Thanksgiving Run. And they always have lots of creative names surrounding this holiday theme. Sometimes Turkey Trot is used. It's quite often. We have a local one here in Southwest Montana called Huffing for Stuffing. They're all good. These races usually occur in mid to late November around that holiday theme. Now, running is just one of the things that I like to talk about here on the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. You know, we'll do these mini series from time to time on different topics like running performance or weight training or training for different types of sports, hunting, the backcountry, skiing, you name it. But right now, I'm really feeling the momentum building with some of the folks that I'm talking to and some of the clients that I'm working with in various coaching capacities, that people are getting ready for these Thanksgiving runs. The distance of those runs varies, but many of them are of the 5 mile or 8 kilometer variety. And I think 8 kilometer comes out to 4.98 miles. So, you know, we're basically talking about the same thing. It's a popular distance that time of year. And for many folks, it kind of represents, okay, this is my last performance push through the year, maybe capping off the fall season, getting ready to coast into some holiday time, some postseason, some downtime, some recovery, which is actually a good idea to do at that time of the year seasonally as we look at how humans evolutionarily are programmed to kind of take it easy when the days get short and the light gets dim. Moving right along, though, what this article is going to offer are some tips to help you get tuned up for a turkey trot if you're going to be doing one, or maybe it'll help you to consider doing so. I'm recording this podcast in late October, so the cool thing is this is going to give you a couple weeks to inject some awesomeness into your preparation. 5 miles is a great race distance for most runners. It's short enough to test your leg speed and aerobic power, but it's long enough to require good stamina and endurance. It's relatively easy to train for and recover from, as opposed to much longer distances. Now, interestingly, the characteristic that we are looking for in the 8K runner, the optimal 8K runner, is a rhythmic, light quickness. You don't necessarily need the explosive power required for sprints or shorter events, nor must you possess that all-day grinding ability of the more, shall we say, marathonic endeavors. All have their place. Any runner with basic fitness, or any athlete for that matter, who is maintaining a good training base, can just jump into a turkey trot, slog through the miles, and survive it. But most lifetime athletes, which is kind of why we're all here, will say to me, well, how can I run a faster 8K? I want a little more performance out of my existence, and I'm willing to do some work and seek that higher level of outcome. That's what we'll break down here. Without getting too technical, the 5 mile race distance requires you to have the efficiency to hold speed and the economy to meter energy at a pace which is near your lactate threshold. This output level roughly correlates with your functional threshold power, your anaerobic threshold, or your second ventilatory threshold. All of these are considered slightly different by definition, but honestly, they're close enough for the purposes of our discussion. Even simpler, 8K pace is like humming along just a bit below your red line. That type of effort doesn't stress you out too much to hold it, but it actually takes real concentration to stay in the groove. You can't just mindlessly jog along or you'll fall off the pace. Any runner capable of running 5 miles between about 6 and 10 minutes per mile will benefit from the suggestions that follow. If you're looking at a pace which is more like 12 minutes per mile and maybe your goal would be breaking an hour, my suggestion would be that you'd probably benefit most from just increasing your overall running mileage and frequency a bit for a few weeks to build up your aerobic capacity and tackle that 8K. Now, likewise, if you can race this distance with your pace in the fives, that's in as in 5 minutes per mile or faster, you'll want to consider more elaborate training approaches just to get the most out of yourself. But for the majority of us runners, perhaps 80% is a guess on my part, we'll be looking at running their 5 miler between a pace of about 6 and 10 minutes per mile. Those are the athletes that will get the most out of a few key workouts, which I'm going to outline as we go along. And since we've only got a couple of weeks until turkey trot time, we've got to throw out or eliminate two types of workouts. Those are long runs and hard intervals. So long runs of, let's just say, trying to be somewhat specific here for this type of runner, 9 miles and up, they are not that valuable in this short training cycle, and they can actually make you tired, flat, and slow right now. And I totally get this idea that there are many folks that, look, all I want to do is just go out and just run, and it's meditative, and it gives me aerobic fitness and does so much for me. And I appreciate that. But sometimes it's good to put in a little bit of work and just get a little more performance out of yourself. And that can be gratifying and enjoyable in its own way. Now, hard intervals, and I just use that in air quotes, such as, let's say, here's an example of a classic one, 5 times 1,000 meters with an emphasis on maximal oxygen uptake. So those things are, you know, running at essentially 5K pace or slightly faster. They don't actually hit the specific metabolic target for which we're currently shooting for the 8K in this short-term training cycle. So make sure I'm being fully explanatory. Plus, most recreational runners will shy away from this kind of training anyway. Maybe you had that seventh grade PE class experience where, you know, you went out and you didn't warm up, and maybe you weren't that trained, and the PE teacher or the coach said, hey, we're going to run the mile all out, and if you did finish, you probably barfed. You know, that's a negative experience, and sometimes people will correlate that with interval training or the track, but it's totally unnecessary. And when we do things scientifically and intelligently, we don't have that kind of agony and we get great results. So anyway, hard intervals do have a place in training, just not right now. And maybe I can convince you to do something like that at another time. But staying on task, let's talk about what the bread and butter, or shall we say turkey and stuffing, of good short-term 8K training involves. And it's only three workouts, three types of training sessions, at least in what you do when you're running, that are necessary. And we'll look at each one separately. So the first one, and I probably would say these things are in order of their importance or value or potential contribution. This is threshold intervals. Again, everyone likes to debate and argue definitions, but threshold intervals are also known as cruise intervals. And these are relatively longer running intervals that are performed at a slightly challenging or what's sometimes termed comfortably hard pace. And that's roughly your 8K or 5 mile or turkey trot pace. So these efforts don't kill you, but you have to focus to maintain that steady effort. And as opposed to using distance in fleshing out this workout, my favorite recommendation is to prescribe 3 to 4 reps of 6 to 10 minutes at 8K goal race pace with 1 to 3 minutes easy walking or jogging between the reps. And so you can see right away how that workout is scaled. We could do 3 reps of 6 minutes with 3 minutes walking in between, and that makes it a very tolerable and comfortable workout for many people, especially those who are just coming out of beginner status. Or we could say, well, let's take it up to 4 reps of 10 minutes, pegging that 8K goal pace and only jogging 1 minute between reps. And a more advanced runner is going to want to do something like that. A short warm-up jog of 5 to 10 minutes should precede the session, and perhaps a brief cool down of the same duration can conclude your workout. This type of workout can be done practically anywhere, such as on the trails or the roads. You just cruise along and you make those relatively subtle pace shifts. It's general and approximate in its application, but this threshold interval training session is extremely effective. Now, up next is probably one of my favorite workouts for athletes of all types and runners of all types, and these are short striders. I like to think of these as leg fresheners, and they're absolutely amazing at enhancing your stride mechanics and your native leg speed. The workout I usually recommend requires no warm-up or cool-down, but it must be performed on either a field or a track. We want that smooth level surface, a little softer than a road, predictable, safe, geared towards running fast. The key session is this, 20 to 30 times 100 yards or meters. And let me just say, whenever we're on grass, I usually say yards. And whenever we're on a track, I'll say meters just because that's the typical nomenclature. But back to this key session, 20 to 30 times 100 with full walk back rests after each rep. So what that means is you run in one direction for your 100 yards or meters, and then you walk back and then you repeat again. And that's how you do your reps. Now, how we set this workout up is the first 5 reps are very light and easy and progressive. And so they'll begin at a jog and then build up by that 5th rep or so to close to that 8K race pace. And then the last 5, regardless of whether you're doing 20 or 30, are easing out of the session where you kind of coast back down. So the warm up and cool down built automatically into the workout All you need is that 100-yard stretch of track or grass, which you can find in many places. So here's where the workout has the meat or the substance of this little Sammy. It's the middle section. So that's the middle 10 reps if you're doing 20 reps total. It could be 15, or it could be 20 repetitions if you're doing 30, which is the maximum I recommend. They're run at a quick, light, and fast pace. That is actually roughly your 1 mile race pace. So it's a little bit faster, but it's not a sprint. And it's not difficult to hold this pace if you're only doing it for 100. But it gets you running way faster than distance race pace and improves your form and speed amazingly without a lot of pain or effort. Trust this workout. Don't try to turn it into a longer, more exhausting run. You'll defeat the purpose. Okay, now the final run that will work well in this short, let's say 2 to 4 week training cycle are recovery sessions. And those are just what they sound like. They're just easy, short runs. These are jogs, or even you can use some cross training, which is alternative mode aerobic sessions, like using cycling or rowing or other things, particularly if you don't want to beat your legs up and you need to do that. I often will do that. The preceding two workouts that we just talked about provided that specific short-term training stimulus that your turkey-trotting body needs. However, these recovery training episodes are just fillers to complete your weekly target volume. Get you some muscle memory, get you some more aerobic volume without much of a beatdown. If you're able to run without having overly sore legs or fatigue, just fill in with a few. Now here comes the key thing, 2 to 4 milers of what I like to call pretty jogging. So when you jog pretty, you're still keeping an eye on your form and technique. It always does matter. Please, please resist the urge to go further and defeat the real purpose here of getting light recovery. If running feels like too much for you, that's where the cross training can come in, but use your judgment because you want to put your efforts into those other workouts, the threshold intervals and the short striders. Make your recovery feel like it's much less than you could have done on the day, and your fitness is going to spike up. If you do the opposite and you say, I'm just going to grind these babies out and do semi-long runs, your legs are going to be flat and you're not going to get much out of this. So let's not make that happen, please. Okay, so here's what you do. You put these sessions together for just a few weeks and you'll find yourself being more than just a turkey trotter. You'll be a poultry jet pilot or a dressing drag racer. That's got multiple meanings. Isn't that funny? Okay, here's a sample training week of what that might look like. Monday, threshold intervals. Tuesday, recovery run. Wednesday, resistance training. Thursday, short striders. Friday's an off day. And if you're taking an off day, sometimes Friday's a great day to do that, especially if things are getting hectic and the work week has kind of pulled you down a little bit. Great way to rest then. Saturday, have a little cross training, and Sunday, do a recovery run. Now, that's just one suggestion. You can mix and match and juggle as you prefer. But the whole idea there is we have some low and high days as far as intensity or volume, or just basically hard and easy using the old Bowerman model, which is a great way to do things. You can assemble this training, again, any way that your preferences, your schedule, and your level of conditioning will dictate. And I hope you give this plan a try. So guys, let me know, by all means, please, if you have any questions, if you liked it or how it worked. I'm always happy to engage with lifetime athletes. And in fact, if you're loving the podcast and you'd like to support the podcast or possibly take your training and existence to your next level and your full potential, consider some things. Maybe you want to join our training tribe, which is our online coaching and training platform. It's based on a year-round or annual training program that helps you to balance the 5 components of human performance, which are strength, speed, power, agility, and endurance. Or maybe you have an extreme focus where you've got a goal, you've got a sport that's your go-to, and you want help designing a better training program, getting some advice on how to do it, or having a coach that you can count on who's got your back, wants to see you succeed, whether you're a skier, a tennis player, a backcountry hunter, or many other things. That's what I do. That's what I've done for a very long time. I live for it and I love it. I'm happy to help you. You can check out all of those things, and the menu items are very easily found at thelifetimeathlete.com. Also, you may want to make the ergonomics of your workstation just a little better. Check out my ebook on the shop page, The Healthy Workstation. Need a little help dropping those last few pounds? Try out Effortless Weight Loss. And if you're really trying to figure out just who you are as a natural beast and an athlete and how to make your training work best for your unique and gift-filled body, grab a copy of my latest book, Animal Fit, where you can unleash your inner beast and unlock your athletic potential. Thanks again, guys, for being with me. This is Coach John Zombro, signing off from the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. Have a fantastic day.